Welcome to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy, here with some colleagues from Independence Health System. Today, we're talking about the cardiovascular service line, specifically electrophysiology and the current treatments for atrial fibrillation and the Watchman ablations and device implants. So, lots of neat stuff to talk about in the Heart Center. I'm joined today by Denise Addis. She is the Vice President of the Cardiovascular Service Line. Also, Dr. Ravine Bazaz. He is an electrophysiologist, along with his colleague, Dr. Basil Sayegh. Welcome to all of you to Westmoreland Community Connections.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Well, we're really excited to talk to you. So many new advancements happening at Independence Health System, particularly in the cardiovascular service line. So I'm going to start with individual questions for each of you, if that's okay. I'm going to start with Dr. Bazaz. I know you're working hard on electrophysiology, which is a much needed service line in the community. But let's talk about you and where you grew up, your education and training, and then we'd like to hear how you came to Greensburg.
Well, thank you. I'm from India originally, and I did medical school in India. I was done, and subsequent to that, wanted to get some good training, and elected to come to the U.S. and went through the process. And I started a residency in Cleveland in 1995. That was a 3-year residency, and it was a smaller community hospital at the time, which is now part of the Cleveland Clinic. Subsequent to that, I did my cardiology fellowship at Mount Sinai Services in New York City, and that was split between Mount Sinai Hospital in New York City and in a very busy hospital called Elmhurst Hospital in Queens, New York. So during that phase of my training, I gravitated towards cardiac electrophysiology, which is essentially the electrical system of the heart. So this involves rhythm disorders such as atrial fibrillation and other rhythm disorders, pacemakers, defibrillators, Watchman devices, ablation. So it's a very exciting field with a lot of technological advancement. So this requires further training after cardiology. And for that, I went to the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center in 2001. After graduating in 2003, the system asked me to stay on. And I spent essentially about 20 years cumulatively there at in Pittsburgh, and I worked my way up to being the director of cardiac electrophysiology lab for Presbyterian Hospital. And over the last 20 years, obviously, being a primary referral center, built a lot of experience, led some clinical trials out there, and had a good journey at Pittsburgh. At approximately a couple of years ago, I elected to take some time off and spend some time with my wife and children and dogs, which I hadn't in 20 years. And I took a few months off and got bored pretty quickly, not with the family, but just not doing my work, which I enjoyed so much.
Yeah,
And so,
good, careful answer there, not with your
thank you.
family.
Thank you. Subsequent to that, I journeyed around America and looked for different opportunities and cities. I got interest with Mayo Clinic in Florida, places in Arizona, Ohio. And at that point, when I was contemplating where to go, I could not get past the fact that we lived here in this community for 20 years, built a lot of good relationships. And one of my prior trainees, who is my co-colleague right now, Dr. Basil Sayegh, and there was an opening at Westmoreland Hospital. And after speaking with the system, they agreed to support us and to help build a good cardiac electrophysiology section here. And so I elected to come here, and I've been here now for approximately 11 months. We've certainly been extremely busy and doing a lot of good work and with a lot of good success and building new programs in electrophysiology. And I would say we're pretty much competitive with any system in the state right now. Our results are excellent. Our complication rates are low. And so these are very exciting times with all the innovations going on, and we just hope to keep building on our section. So that's the long and short of it.
This is just a wonderful story, and we're so glad you ended up in Greensburg along with your colleague, Dr.
As
Sayegh.
am
You,
I.
do
Thank
you
you.
mind do you mind telling us, Dr. Sayegh, your story?
Yeah, of course. So I'm originally from Syria. So I grew up in Syria, and I did my med school in Damascus University in Syria, and I finished around 2004, and then 2011, sorry. And then after that, I basically similar to Dr. Bezaz, I wanted to get the best training there is in the world, and it was basically the United States. So I started the process, and I ended up actually in Chicago for internal medicine residency in Loyola University. So I did 3 years of internal medicine there, and then I moved on to cardiology fellowship in Allegheny Health Network. And
Okay.
at that time, similar also to what Dr. Bezaz said, it seemed like electrophysiology was a growing field. It was a field that, providing us with a lot of tools and resources to help our patients and, provide them with better quality of life. So it was something very attractive to me because of how rewarding it is and, what you can provide for your patients. So I ended up doing an electrophysiology fellowship in University of Pittsburgh, mainly in Presbyterian Hospital, and this is where I met Dr. Bezaz there. So it was a great fellowship for 2 years, and at that time I started looking for jobs, and one thing that attracted me about being here in Greensburg and part of Westmoreland Heart Center was basically when I sat with the team and with the leaders, it seemed like there is a vision there. And at that time, it was, 3 years ago, it was still at the beginning. And it seemed like, those guys have a plan there, and there is an ambition. And it seemed like, it's ramping up very fast. And it was all basically patient-centered to the main goal was basically that we want to provide all the services there is from a cardiac perspective for the community in Westmoreland County. So our patients don't have to go anywhere and they don't have to travel. And when I started here and talking to the patients here, I realized how important it is for these patients to stay within the community. There is a sense of belonging to the area, to the community itself, and there is a sense of ownership as well from and responsibility from our hospital for the community as well. So that's something that I enjoyed, and that's something that I definitely witnessed over the past few years. And right now that we're making this interview, I think I did one 2 or 3 years ago. And it helps reflect a little bit on where we were and where we are right now. And I'm just, proud of the fact that I was right at the time, believing in this system. And I'm just excited about the future and what we can provide right now. And not to repeat what Dr. Bezaz said, but at least, from a cardiac perspective, we're just very proud of being able to provide the best care for our patients, and that is like basically at least comparative to any health system in the area.
That is
So,
wonderful to hear. That's great. And Denise, let's hear about you.
so I've been at Exela for all of my career. Started here as a graduate nurse, worked on a long-term ventilator floor in my prior life, and have done a variety of jobs, being diabetic educator, was a director for quality or chief quality officer for about 35 years here. The last 3 years, I've been the vice president for the cardiovascular service line, and it has been extremely rewarding to see this organization be able to stand itself up and be able to be seen as a regional referral center. We're getting referrals from way outside our community. I have my master's in nursing that I earned from University of Pittsburgh, and I went to Villa Maria College for my undergraduate in Erie, which is now part of Gannon University. So it has been a journey, but I am a hometown girl. I grew up in this community. My brothers were born in this hospital, actually, 60 years ago. And so definitely committed to seeing this organization grow and this organization be the destination spot. I started here when we were simply a community hospital. And we're one hospital with just probably at that point 400 beds. But we have grown into a regional referral center, and this cardiac program has certainly grown into a destination and a very competitive program.
Denise, tell people who are listening today just the high fives you probably were all giving each other when you get guys like Dr. Bazaz and Dr. Sahag on staff, right? I mean, this is big.
Yeah, the talent level that we've been able to achieve with the recruits for EP, for cardiac surgery, for thoracic surgery, and for all of the services within our service line is amazing. You know, it takes talent. First thing you have to have before you can grow and become a destination or a regional referral center is the talent. Then you can recruit, and that includes the staff. You know, nursing and staffing shortages are a reality in all of our worlds right now, but it starts with having the physician talent and commitment to the community and to the growth of the program. So it has been a great experience, been a lot of work and a lot of hard work, but very much worth it to, again, you go to the grocery store and you meet your neighbors and they say, hey, don't you work at Accella and I need a cardiac surgeon or what is that Watchman procedure? Can you tell me about it? Where should I go? And when you can say here that at Independence, that's the best thing in the world.
It's wonderful. It's great news. So Dr. Bazaz, you were starting to talk a little bit about what electrophysiology is. So maybe for the people at home who might not know spot on that they should be going to an electrophysiologist, what kind of symptoms, what kind of diagnoses do you treat?
That's a great question. So the heart is a pump and it's a bag of muscle that essentially keeps working from the day you were born till the day you cease to exist. So if this pump stops, it is imperative for the body to have this organ keep functioning. Now, in order for this organ to function, there is a series of nerves within the heart which coordinate all the muscles and make it work. Most of the time through youth, people's electrical systems work okay. But on occasion, people are born with extra connections. And so we deal with younger people who've been born with extra connections in their heart, which can short circuit this electrical system. Many, many years ago, the only way to deal with this was open cardiac surgery. But I'm fairly proud to say that cardiac electrophysiology is probably the most advanced field in medicine, if not one of the most advanced fields in medicine. And we benefit a lot from biomedical engineering companies and their innovations in computing, et cetera. So because of the technology that we can lean on, we can do things, we can cure conditions, such as extra connections, as I mentioned. Also, a very, very prevalent condition in not only in our community, but in the general overall population is a rhythm disorder called atrial fibrillation, which is essentially an irregular rhythm disorder of the heart. Now, we have the ability to deal with atrial fibrillation at every level, whether it's cardiac surgical, whether it's electrophysiological, et cetera. And so if I may get into that a little bit, when people have AFib, we essentially are cardiac electrophysiologists are the best physicians at managing this condition. We can either manage it medically, and if the medicines don't work, we have procedures that can potentially cure patients of atrial fibrillation. Some people, cannot take blood thinners for atrial fibrillation. We can put devices called Watchman, which can get people off blood thinners. So there's a lot of exciting technologies that we can avail of. We also put in pacemakers for people who may be passing out for some unknown reason. If people feel their hearts are going fast in their chest or they're having palpitations, that may be something to get to attention. People are passing out. That's not a normal condition. We can probably help with that. In most instances, we can get the patients to a point that they will never pass out again. So we can make a lot of quality improvements to patients. And perhaps Dr. Sag could lean a little bit more on certain things that I talked about.
Yeah, I think Dr. Bizaz covered the main points. But, you know, as he said, basically the idea, the most exciting thing about electrophysiology is the availability of the advanced technology and tools to be able to cure conditions that patients have been dealing with for very long periods of time. So I've seen few patients, for instance, that they told me, I remember one instance where one patient told me, I have these palpitations, my heart goes very fast, and I've had this since I was a teenager, and he was in his 70s. And I told him, how come you didn't seek medical attention for it? He's like, I've been treated with multiple medications before. And at some point in my life, I just thought that this is how the heart feels. So because he got so used to it, he thought that everyone feels their heart pumping like this. Ultimately, I was able to help him with an ablation procedure for a rhythm called supraventricular tachycardia. And it was basically an outpatient procedure. It took about an hour to do. There was no surgical cuts, no incisions. It was a small catheter from the groin. And he was able to be discharged home the same day. And when I saw him in the office a few weeks later, he told me that he was very happy to meet me, and he never felt that good all his life. Wow. So obviously, you know, we feel lucky that we're able to, be part of this advancement in technology and be able to provide this for our patients. It's very exciting.
You're listening to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy, and today we're talking with physicians and the vice president of the cardiovascular service line at Independence Health System, Westmoreland Campus. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Classic Hits 107.1. Listen live at WHJBFM.com.
Welcome back to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB. I'm your host, Jennifer Mealy. I'm here today having a fascinating conversation with Dr. Basil Sayegh, also Dr. Ravine Bazaz, and also Vice President of the Cardiovascular Service Line, Denise Addis, all from Independence Health System, working at Westmoreland Hospital. We were talking about really electrophysiology and what you're treating and things like AFib and people having it for 50 years and suffering with this. And so, Dr. Sayegh, I just wanted to go back to that for a minute. I know Dr. Bazaz said that many people are born with sort of this electrical problem, right? But is lifestyle a contributor to that?
Definitely. Lifestyle can contribute, as you know, to multiple cardiac issues. There is a component of lifestyle risk factors, I'd say, to develop rhythms such as atrial fibrillation specifically. Unfortunately, we live in time where it's always a challenge for all of us to, keep a healthy lifestyle, watch our diet, watch our weights, all these things. We definitely encourage our patients to, when we address the atrial fibrillation, I always tell my patients that it's a team effort. And the team is, obviously involve me and involves the patient himself. So I tell them, we'll provide the best care that we can. But, I also always ask my patients to try to do their part. Obviously, it's a long journey to adapt a healthy lifestyle and to lose weight and all these things. So we all appreciate how, difficult these things can be sometimes. But we're not only providing a procedure or a medicine. We have to cover all aspects of diseases, including the preventive part of it.
Mm-hmm. So smoking, eating, weight, diabetes, all of those things can contribute to this.
Absolutely.
Right. And then Dr. Bazaz, just to go back to that, you were talking about maybe passing out or feeling like your heart is racing or out of rhythm. What can happen if that's not treated?
So in terms of the first thing that you brought with passing out, so that passing out or sudden passing out is a big red flag for us. Certainly, in most instances, if people are passing out, this is the domain of cardiologists in the vast majority of cases, because they have something that's going on, most of the time fixable, that can prevent them from passing out again. So I would encourage anybody who has symptoms of sudden passing out, particularly if there's been no warning or they've hurt themselves, to seek attention, because the danger of not addressing the problem is obviously, you know, you could be driving, you could crash your car. If you were walking down the steps, you could hurt yourself immensely, and particularly it gets much more relevant as people get older, and you know, it could be a simple fix for us, and you fall down or you hit your head and have a head injury or break a hip, and now that, you know, has repercussions for months or years in a patient's life. Other than passing out, sudden onset palpitations, sudden feeling that the heart is racing, these are also not normal. These are not normal symptoms. I would encourage patients who have sudden onset fast heart rates or palpitations to seek attention with their physician or cardiologist or cardiac electrophysiologist. Most of the time, it's cardiologists who refer us patients. So I would highly recommend seeking attention for this. Now, some of these conditions like AFib, which can be accompanied with palpitations, also create an environment in the heart which can form blood clots, which could lead to strokes. So if this problem is addressed initially, we may prevent patients having strokes, we may prevent patients from hurting themselves, et cetera. And ultimately, you know, which is what draws both of us to this field, is the ability to positively impact patients' lives and quality of life with a very high degree of success.
I'll ask either doctor about this. How did COVID maybe contribute to the number of cases? Did you see an increase in the number of cases? Did COVID impact the heart?
So that's interesting. I can only speak from experience. You know, COVID was a really weird disease to term it mildly, because we started and being at we were being at Presbyterian Hospital, which became a major COVID referral center. We started seeing things we had never seen before in our lives, like blood clots in different locations and arrhythmias that was just spring out of the blue. But interestingly enough, at least in, and I'd like Dr. Syed to comment on his experience with this, but it was interesting that these phenomena that we did see tended to happen when the patient had an active COVID infection. And so it was rare for us to see anything over the long term. So, but that was COVID then. COVID now is a different situation. We're not seeing as much cardiac-related stuff as we did when COVID first started, and perhaps that's because of a general immunity that the community has, or the morphing of the virus into something less dangerous than it was in the past.
So interesting.
Yeah, I would agree with Dr. Bizaz. During COVID and just a short period, maybe like 1 or 2 years after the COVID started, we've seen a lot of patients with different kinds of symptoms and palpitations, and, you know, sometimes related to arrhythmia, sometimes not. And that was something that, you know, we struggled to treat because it was a new entity for us. But I would say I agree. In the past year or 18 months, I haven't seen any cardiac issue related to COVID. So that seemed to be dissipate overall. From a you know, volume and care perspective, obviously COVID was a big challenge to all the health systems, as we know. You know, going back and reflecting, I would say you know, our health system did really good job with basically trying to be creative and find solutions to continue providing care for patients. Like, I remember all these meetings, and basically the main focus was, how can we continue to provide care? Well, how can we be creative to figure a way to continue providing care with all the shortage of staff and shortage of beds and, you know, how health systems were overwhelmed. And I would say compared to many other health systems, I think the fact that Westmoreland Hospital is a place where anyone, any doctor and any administrator can talk to each other and can sit together in like 5 minutes. Let's sit and talk. Everyone is on the table. Everyone is sitting and talking and everyone is giving solutions. I would say they did really good job. I would say probably in the top 5% of the hospitals that continued to provide care during COVID era.
Fantastic. Wonderful.
Yeah. If I, on a personal journey, I would like to echo what Dr. Sayak just mentioned. And that was one of my attractants as well to come to Independence Health System, Westmoreland Hospital, is the engagement of the administration to ensure that community care would continue. So as a result of that, I would say when I did come here, the staffing, the general morale of the staff, because they felt they were being looked after, they felt that they were being listened to, allowed Westmoreland Hospital to have a good core members of staff who elected to stay on. And so we were actually in a better position than some of the city hospitals in Pittsburgh. And this is a testament to administration at our health system, which ensured that they could pay the nurses competitively, which was a challenge for the system, but they made sure that the healthcare would continue for the community. And that was certainly one of my attractants, to see the engagement of the administration, both for ensuring adequate staffing and to ensure care delivery to patients to continue this. They definitely deserve kudos for that effort.
Wow, Denise, you have to be happy about this kind of feedback from physicians and the partnership. We have about 2 minutes left. Denise, would you tell us where the offices are located, how people can make an appointment? That would be great.
Sure. So we are open and available to whoever wants to come and see us. We are located with our EP main office here at the Greensburg campus. We also have an office in the Johnstown area, where Dr. Saye goes up there once a month to see patients. We are at Brick and we are at Latrobe.
And Connellsville.
I'm sorry, I missed that. That's our new location. So the Square Connellsville recently opened in the last several months, and we actually have an EP present down in Connellsville. Most of our patients for EP end up getting referred from cardiology, but certainly when it comes to the Weichmann procedure or any of those kinds of things, we are certainly taking direct referrals from patients, and we encourage that. You know, having a Weichmann is a life-changing event. Mm-hmm. It's somebody who no longer needs to be on anticoagulants forever, and with all the monitoring and the complications that come along with that. So we would encourage anyone who needs to be seen by cardiology or EP to call the health system and call our call center and reach back out to us. We'll get you an appointment.
It's wonderful to hear all of these things happening. The procedures, the physicians, they're available throughout Western Pennsylvania, really not limited at all based on geography, considering how many places that people can go to receive this care, all of the squares, and of course, you know, Westmoreland Hospital. And I think that the you know, the collegiality between different types of cardiologists, whether they be interventional or electrophysiology, is, you know, it's evident in this interview. It's evident that this is exceptional care. And I am grateful for all of you for joining us today, Dr. Ravine Bazaz. I have Dr. Basil Sayegh, and I have Denise Addis, the Vice President of the Cardiovascular Service Line. This was a lovely interview. Thank you to all three of you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to Westmoreland Community Connections on WHJB.